Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your host, Memphis. You can find me on Twitter at DWZMemphis, and you can find me on Instagram at Memphis185. Now, on the Instagram, that's my personal account, but if you ever want to see what it looked like, or my dog, or my son's travel baseball team, occasionally pictures of my wife, sometimes pictures of the gym, the motorcycles, any of the weird stuff that I'm into outside of fantasy football, you can find it there. And if you're looking for our show Instagram, it's at Dynasty Warzone. Same with the Twitter. So those are the best ways to get a hold of me outside of email. Direct email is dynastywarzone@gmail.com. So just think of Dynasty Warzone, and you know, you can use it on Instagram, Twitter, email. However you need to get a hold of your boy, that is how you're doing it. So what's going on? A lot's going on. Camps are in session. Heard today as I record this, this will be Thursday, hopefully for a Friday or Saturday release, that the NFL has had less than a 1% COVID rate. Now, knock on wood, it stays that way, but the NFL has done, from everything I've read, everything I've seen, they have done a tremendous job of keeping the players and the coaching staff safe. Of course, there's going to be cases. There's cases in the real world. The NFL is just a very small sliver of what the real world is, except not really. It's very strict. There was the young man, I think it was the Seahawks, who was trying to sneak a young companion into the team hotel, got caught, got cut. The NFL is taking this very seriously. I heard this Aaron Rodgers interview talking about the strictness that they've been put under, and the teams have been talking about this since basically April. So it does not surprise me that the NFL is full speed ahead, and we're like 4 weeks away from the NFL season. I mean, normally we would be in preseason week one, but you know, that to make sure that we have a season, there is no preseason. So a couple of things I wanted to cover before I bring on Blaze and we talk about his 16 team IDP / it's a really interesting format. One QB, very interesting format and a great conversation. But before I get into that, I just want to give you a couple of general notes. You're going to see random signings. We saw Lamar Miller. Now, that's a little bit more than a camp body. But I've also heard that if he can't play special teams and can't contribute at 29, he is still a cut candidate. And, you know, the Lions were bringing in CJ Procise on top of a bunch of other guys. Jeremy Hill was brought into the Raiders and then subsequently cut. Guys, none of this means anything. The teams right now are carrying, I believe it's 80 guys. They've got expanded practice squads. This is not unheard of for what's going on. Of course you're going to carry a couple of extra running backs. That doesn't mean that they're going to get significant snaps. It doesn't mean that they're going to start on Sunday. It just means that the teams are carrying a lot more people. The players that opted out, I don't believe they're salary counts toward the cap this year, so teams have got a couple extra bucks. And you're going to see this. You're going to see the LeSean McCoys. And if you're so concerned about the value of, let's say, a guy like DeAndre Swift, then you probably shouldn't have drafted him in the first place. If you don't think that he can beat out guys like CJ Procise and Kerryon Johnson and Ty Johnson and all the Johnsons, except for Rudy Johnson and maybe Larry Johnson. They were really good back in the day. But you get my point. Bo Scarborough, if you didn't think he was capable of beating out those guys, you should have never drafted him in the first place. So as you see these random signings between now and the start of the season, and maybe even into the season with guys like Devonta Freeman, don't sweat it. This is dynasty. This is the long game. Don't let the convoluted offseason that is COVID mess with your mind. The other thing is don't fall in love. Happens every year, but just a little quick note from your boy. Don't fall in love when you see those 30-second, you know, videos that people share on Twitter. First of all, with the restricted media access this year to camp, those are even more limited. So the ones that are getting out are the ones the team wants you to get out. And they know that if you see it, they know the other teams in the league are going to see it. So most of what you're seeing on Twitter is strategic and intentional. Don't let it sway you into overvaluing a player. Don't let it sway you into having another owner trick you into making a trade that you shouldn't. This, again, is dynasty. This is the long game. If you have any questions, man, hit me up on that Twitter, at DWZMemphis, and be more than happy to try to get to as many of those as possible. A couple other things real quick before I grab Blaze and we get this thing going. We've got two new shows over at the Dynasty Warzone. The Wednesday show is now all about dynasty. In the past, we mixed in a little DFS. We mixed in a little gambling, things of that nature. Not anymore. That is now all on our Friday show called The Fabulous Best Bet. We had one drop on Friday, August 14th. We talked, I think it was four total player props and a couple of team totals. The player props, though, you can say, hey, how does Memphis feel about Joe Burrow or Joe Mixon or Derrick Henry or Kenny Galladay or some of the other players we covered on the Friday edition? Because even if you're not betting their season totals, you may want to know how we think they're going to go. So that's me and my co-host Kyle. He is a doctor of physical therapy, and you can find him on Twitter at Dr_DWZPT. I may have that messed up, but just search Kyle Bowser. He's got the same gimmick logo on Twitter that I do. Great dude, incredibly sharp. And then once a month, and this Monday, maybe Tuesday, the 17th, maybe the 18th, we're going to have our first Devi show. Now, I know you get great Devi content here on the Happy Hour with the guys here, but this one right here is really going to have the impact of the Big Ten and the Big 12, as well as other schools opting out, and how that's going to impact your dynasty rosters and your rookie drafts next year. Yes, it is okay to start thinking about your roster and your construction and the rookies next year. And the guys are really going to focus on the names you need to know that will be draft eligible in the 2021 NFL draft. So that'll be a great show. That is a great guest, a great list of hosts like Kane Fasel, like Shane Hallam, Jerry Sinclair, and Josh Dissinger. I'll be there in the background. I'll be the producer monkey laying low. Might throw out the occasional question. If you ever listen to the Fantasy Footballers, it'll be a lot like Brooks. Once in a while, I'll get the occasional shout-out, but more often than not, I'm just there to turn the dials and learn, just like you. I will put Shane, Kane, Jerry, and Josh up against anybody in the business. There's a lot of great Devi minds out there, including the team here at the Happy Hour, but if you're looking for additional content, Dynasty Warzone, we've got gambling, we've got Devi, we've got straight Dynasty, you know, business over there, and give us a follow. Give us a rating and review. Subscribe. Leave us a 5-star. It's easy, and it's for free. Cost you $0 to join the weekly show. I mean, that's three shows this week, two on most weeks, and you can use all of it as you're going into the season. Now, if you want to spend a couple of bucks and you're willing to maybe drink McDonald's coffee or make some Folgers at home and forego a couple of days of Starbucks, you could join the patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. We're wrapping up our sixth Patreon league. They're starting the second Devi. And I can tell you that all the money is good. How do I know all the money is good? Because all the money has been paid to me. And all that money will be paid out at the end of the season. So if you're looking for a safe space to play some Dynasty Fantasy Football, learn to grow, Get some custom one-on-ones, and just give that a check out. Give that Dynasty Warzone Patreon a check, as well as Trophy Smack. Before I bring on Blaze, I'm going to run the Trophy Smack commercial. There'll be a link, you know, that you can go to. You can use the code DWZRing. We'll get you fixed up. And again, the last thing that really helps everybody that does a podcast, and that's just not us here at the Dynasty Happy Hour or at the Dynasty Warzone. It's any podcast that you enjoy, especially those you enjoy for free. I consume an absolute ton of free content in the podcast space. And not just Dynasty, not just fantasy, but real football. I do a lot with exercise and fitness. I do a few others. Every show that I listen to, I leave a 5-star review if I listen regularly. That is my way of giving back to the people that host these things, because that's how they grow. So if you got a minute, I know we're all busy, you know, running errands. As long as you're not driving or operating heavy machinery, it'd be really cool if you just hit pause, go into your podcast player, hit 5-star, hit thanks for the content. Memphis is the man. Would really like that Memphis is the man one, but you know what, whatever. And if we don't deserve a 5-star, give us what you think we deserve. But that's how we grow. Feedback. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I love doing the Contractor Podcast here on the Dynasty Happy Hour feed. I've heard good things from Tyler. Tyler is the big boss. Love me some Tyler. And I want to continue doing it for you guys. So tonight we have Blaze. Next week we'll have Dean. And I think we have one spot left between now and the regular season. Is that spot for you? I don't know. How do you get that spot? At me. At me, bro. At me on Twitter. At DWZ Memphis. At me on Instagram, at Memphis185, or email me at DynastyWarzone@gmail. A lot of people will reach out. Only one will get in, but this is something I plan on doing for the long term. I really enjoy this. It's the only podcast that I know of, and if you know of one different, let me know. But this is the only podcast in the Dynasty space that makes you, the listener, the co-host for the show. I love doing it, love interacting. Hit me up anywhere you need me to. And I'm going to hear from my friends at Trophy Smack, and I'm going to get my man Blaze, and we're going to rock this show. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves, and we'll talk next Friday. Thank you. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? Then head over to TrophySmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRing. You pick out your trophy, which one do you like? You put it in the cart, you add the ring to the cart, you add the promo code DWZRing, makes the ring free, and your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to TrophySmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRing, and let's have a big season. All right, as always, big thank you to my sponsor, Trophy Smack. You can get your league hooked up, and guys, there's no better time right now. I mean, redraft season is upon us. It's August. The start of the regular season's about 5 weeks away? Upward question mark? We're close, guys. We're close. We're real close. 4 weeks away. Somewhere like that. Plenty of time to go to Trophy Smack and get that championship belt or trophy with the code DWZRing to get that hookup. All right. Here he is, as promised in the intro. His name is Blaze, and this team is blazing hot. I had to do it. I could not do it. Blaze, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour, Contractor.
Thanks for having me, Memphis. Really pumped.
Yeah, man, we've been going. We had to talk through this one quite a bit pre-show because this is a very, very unique structure. I'm going to break it down a little bit, and then I'm going to get into some questions for you. How many owners in this particular league? This is a 16-team league. It's one QB, you have to start one running back and four wide receivers/tight ends, or two running backs, three wide receivers, And then you don't have to use tight ends. It's a very interesting format. You have to start two defensive linemen, so that can be a D tackle or a D end, two linebackers, and then two defensive backs. Now, I'm an IDP guy, pretty much here to tell you, if you have cornerbacks on your team, you are doing it wrong. So we've covered this. It's a standard scoring league too, by the way. So Blaze, if you would, man, just give us, you know, some of the little intricacies, the nuances of this league that maybe I didn't do the best job of laying out there.
Well, I'd have to start out with just being an IDP in general. I don't think that's as common now. I think it's growing for sure. But the intricacies of that, like the tackles for defensive players as linebackers, you can make up for having a lack of running backs on offense by having a solid linebacker that's just a beast making all those tackles. Same thing goes with safeties.
Listen, my favorite IDP story is a few years ago. It was Darius Leonard's rookie year, and I am a huge Colts fan. For those that don't know, that are new to the contractor, I'm a huge Colts fan. And I'm in an IDP league, and we've since had to start over a new one, but I'm getting ready to draft Darius Leonard, and my buddies from what used to be the Fantasy Football Fellows took him right in front of me, just because he was a Colt. They did it as like a joke, as like a rib on me, because they knew I was a Colts fan, and they went on to beat me in the championship of that league that year. So I know all about having that premium stud tight end, that premium stud linebacker in your league. Now, you have a couple of good players on this defensive team. We're going to jump into that as we start talking about the individual spots on the roster. But my question is, what's the activity this league, man? You know, this time of the year, your league should be ramping up a little bit. You're starting to see players opt out or opt in. You know, injuries will start happening as camps start using padding practices. News. So what's the activity like with everything going on in the real NFL?
So the activity is pretty slow on those down times, just like everyone's kind of mentioned who's done the contractor. You know, during the rookie draft, things start to hype up a little bit. And of course, during the beginning of the off season, and then trade deadlines and whatnot. But I usually have to throw in a couple of trades just to start the spark and get some things going. But it's grown since I've entered the league, that's for sure.
Well, cue up the Ron Swanson gif of, I'm real proud of you. Good to hear that you are being the spark in the league. This is the time of year, man, and I say it every week, but it bears and worth repeating. Throw it out there. You see that little tidbit of news, that little 30-second video of a player doing something in camp, which there will not be a lot of this year. But don't be afraid to be the person that throws a little something extra in the group chat. All right, that doesn't surprise me. Now, you guys, speaking of which, you guys have not done your rookie draft yet. So when's that coming up?
So our commissioner's kind of been dropping the ball this year. He's new this year. So there hasn't been a date posted, but the auction for free agency is at the end of the month. The rookie draft typically starts 2 weeks before that, so it should be coming up within the next couple of weeks.
All right, real quick, what's your commissioner's name? Just a first name.
Pat.
This is Memphis from both the Dynasty War Zone and the Dynasty Happy Hour contractor. Get your stuff together, Pat. We are on the clock. Not literally, because you haven't started the draft yet, but Pat, time's a-wasting. So, in all sincerity, I know everybody's busy and everybody's got a lot going on, people working from home, people being considered essential. It's not exactly the easiest work-life balance right now. So, Pat, I'm both kidding and serious. Let's get the show on the road. Now, does the group have a group chat? And if it does, where is it hosted?
So the main source of chat is through email. It seems very old school. So there's like a message board. If there's any changes for rules or if somebody's feeling a certain way, they'll do polls on that. But typically it's just done through the email, which is through myfantasyleague.com. That's about the only thing.
All right. Well, I'm now there's 16 of you, and if you're in a 16 team league, you got to be pretty into fantasy football. I'm going to put this on you. You guys have got to create a group chat via text. You can use GroupMe. You can use Twitter. There's a lot of ways to go, but it's like, come on, guys. You know, if you don't like all the messages or this thing gets off the rails, you can always mute it. But let's create something to create a little buzz. Let's bring our league up to the next level. You can at least suggest it. And if everybody doesn't want to do it, get the owners that do. Let's say, hey, teams, let's whoever wants in, I'm starting a GroupMe. Send me your contact information. I'll build the league. I'll be the admin. We'll get everybody in. And then, you know, then you'll have two sources of communication. And then just continuously remind those that aren't in the league chat, just remind them what they're missing out on. I think that would be a great way to go about doing it. Do you think you could get at least maybe 5 or 6, maybe 8, half the league to get into a group chat?
So I've been working on it. So my father and my uncle are actually in this league too, and they're the ones who introduced me to it. It's about 20 years old, and so they're on my side. We've all grouped together. So there's about 4 of us right now that are starting to want to get into that group chat, make changes, update the league into, you know, maybe a PPR or 2 QBs or something like that. So we're trying to stir up the pot, but we got 4 right now.
Yeah, the good thing is that this will sound like I'm poking fun, but some of those older fellas, you know, dads, uncles, and whatnot, they tend to be a big fan of Facebook. You know, that's where they get a lot of that political news. Hey, let's do a Facebook group, you know, a Facebook Messenger group chat. You know, go where the action would be. Hey guys, I'm not locked into GroupMe. I'm not locked into Twitter. I'm not locked into, you know, Slack or Discord or whatever. I'm willing to go with what's convenient for you guys and see what you get, man. You what's the old expression? You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Go with what would work for them. Does that sound like something you would you'd be willing to work with these guys on?
I'm gonna start it tomorrow.
I'm telling you, man, you get these guys, they're already complaining on Facebook about the politics and the Rona. Man, you might as well just go where they're at. You'll love it. And then it will spur more action, and it will just make the league a better league. Why are you looking for a contractor? You know, you said you have 1 to 2 years experience, and you've played a lot of redraft, but want to check in on some dynasty strategies with a real professional. Well, you got me. So is that all correct?
That it's pretty correct. I mean, I actually ended up winning the championship my first year in the league. So I ended up adopting it, a pretty good team. But I feel like my current position, I have some core solid young players that I feel like I'm just a few pieces away of being able to be a serious contender. And with my newer experience, you know, it's always great to check with somebody who's knowledgeable, has the experience, just to see if I'm on track or if I need to tweak any strategies or anything like that.
All right, man. I think based on our conversations, you and I are, I think you got a pretty good grasp on this, and I'm looking forward to getting to this team. And then what shape do you feel like your roster's in? You have won a championship. You definitely, you know, need some help at the running back and QB position. We're going to address that shortly, but let's get into some of your goals. So you have a short-term goal to acquire some pieces so that you can win another championship within the next 2 years. Now, 16-team championship, that's pretty impressive. How many teams make the playoffs in this format?
8.
Okay, so 8, no buys, weeks 14 through 16?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And, you know, your other short to long-term goals are to determine what players are your core and to decide on some contract extensions. Long-term, gain some scouting techniques and strategies to consistently draft upcoming talent. I got 2 for you, man, over the Dynasty Warzone from the day the Super Bowl ends until about the 1st of June, we are draft and Devy heavy. That rhymes. We have guys like Kane Fasell, Nick Whalen, Ray GQ. I mean, if Garrett Price, if they're a who's who in the Devy and Dynasty industry, we have them on the Dynasty Warzone. So that would be a great place to start, as well as the Devy Marketplace hosted by Kane Fasell and Shane Hallam. the Destination Devi with Rage EQ, the Devi Nerds with Nick Whalen and Garrett Price, and then the Devi Happy Hour. So if you're listening to this podcast, man, subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed. And when they do a Devi Happy Hour, man, that's a good one that I listen to because I like knowing the names. I don't get too deep into college during the season because I've got so much going on. But it's good to remember those names, and those are the kind of resources I would recommend. And as far as IDP, I know over here at the Dynasty Happy Hour, yes, I'm obviously very pro Dynasty Happy Hour. Oklahoma IDP, if you don't know him, go through the people I follow. He's in there. I'll retweet him some point. He is a great IDP guy. Now, are you ready to jump into this roster?
I'm all there.
All right, so let's give the listener a little bit more background music as to what's going on. Now, Blazier, he has 16 guys on his roster. He could have up to 26. Now, he's got a rookie draft coming up at some point, Pat. Again, this is your subtle reminder. Let's go, Pat. And you've got a free agent acquisition draft, free agency. I guess it's not really a draft. It's a free agency auction period. So let's start with quarterback. We'll just kind of go position by position, and we won't take too long on this. Now, currently rostered, you have the mustache, Gardner Minshew, and Jarrett Stidham. Now, Jarrett Stidham was a guy that I really liked. I still kind of like him, but these are the two guys you have. Now, real quick before we start going position by position, tell the listener about your budget, how much you have spent on contracts, and how much you have left.
Okay, so we get a $400 salary cap. I'm going to go into free agency and the rookie draft with $244. That's with signing Austin Eckler, signing Robert Woods, and Myles Garrett.
Okay, well, that's not too bad because you're damn sure not spending a lot of money at quarterback. You have currently invested as many as $2 in the mustache, Gardner Minshew, and Jarrett Stidham. Now, again, I like Jarrett Stidham. I know Uncle Bill Belichick came out earlier in the month and said, hey, it's an open competition between him and Cam. But unless we were talking about this before we hit record. You know, there have been reports that Cam from the belt down has looked great. He's looked very mobile. People that I respect, a guy on my team, Dr. Kyle, you know, there's been good things, but the thing that I have heard bad things on is his throwing motion. Now, Cam has had two shoulder surgeries, including one similar to the one Andrew Luck had. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to retire or that his was the complications were as severe. But if he can't throw the ball, that's a bit of a problem. So, but you did mention there were some guys on the free agent side that you were definitely looking at.
That is correct. There's about a handful of them that I'd like to really target, some more than others. Starting with Russell Wilson, he's obviously the top guy in the free agency. It'd be a nice addition to my team, but having Chris Carson and DK Metcalf, you know, do I want to invest that much in Seattle is my big thing.
Well, I don't think that it's too much to invest in Seattle. That's a really good offense. And Russell Wilson's been a QB1 every season that he's been in the league. He's been a top three QB, I think it's three times, and number one overall once. So I don't mind that. You know, right now, robust RB is a very buzzworthy term. It's very trendy. And right now, stacking wide receivers and quarterbacks is very trendy. So especially on good offenses, imagine that. So I don't think that's the worst idea at all. I'm not a big Chris Carson guy anymore. I really liked him 2 years ago, and last year he had a fantastic season. Would have been in PPR, I'm much more committed to memory of the PPR finishes, but as a PPR runner, he would have been a RB1 had he not gotten hurt. And even if he had finished the game in his 15th game, he would have finished as an RB1, and he missed about two games because of the injury. So I like Chris Carson, but let's stick to the quarterback. So you're looking at Russell and you're looking at Matt Ryan. Those are the two prize possessions to be had in the QB draft auction.
That's correct.
All right, and then I asked you earlier, like, what do you think these guys would go for? And you think Matt Ryan would go in the $60 range, which would be about not quite a fourth of your total budget left. And that would tell me that Russell's going to go in that $70-$75 range.
That's true. Potentially more, but he's really trying to get him.
Yeah, because you said you traded or sold Aaron Rodgers for about a hundy.
Well, he was costing me $111, which I got on auction. I had one roster spot, and I spent all my money on Rodgers after he had a good year. So I wanted to free that up and dump him back into the pot because I could get him for $70 this year after his slump year. Who knows?
Well, that's not the worst idea because there's all these speculative narratives that he could be on a different team this time next year. We'll wait and see and handle that then. Now, if I remember correctly from looking at the artwork and the graphics of this MFL league, there was maybe some cheesehead bias out there.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm definitely a cheesehead to my bones.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I'm going to recommend a couple of cheeseheads that I really like when we get to that IDP side of the ball. But I don't mind that. And then you also have the 113. This is a 16-man league, so having the 13th pick is not uncommon, and we talked about, you know, I think your goal or your target players there would be looking at hopefully Joe Burrow or Tua would land to you there.
I would hope so. Typically in the past, it goes very running back heavy, so I'm thinking the first five will be running backs, so there could be potential that a receiver does slide, but realistically I'm probably looking at Tua or Herbert was my projections.
Let me ask you a quick question. Would you say linebacker goes pretty early in this particular draft, in this particular league format?
They're inching up. Linebackers typically go towards the early second round. I have yet to see a defensive player go in the first round.
And the reason why I ask is, you know, this scoring's favorable to defensive ends and middle linebackers. And since that's the designation that Isaiah Simmons has, and he was, I think, drafted eighth overall to the Cardinals on a team that, you know, we talked about IDP, we'll get in that in a minute with some of those strategies and what have you. But any thought, if you don't like the quarterback there, we talked about maybe trading this pick because you don't have a 2021 first. Would you consider adding a defensive player there?
You know, I wouldn't hate it. I've been really high on Patrick Queen in Baltimore. Even over Simmons. So I was going to kind of ask your take on that, but I'm not afraid to take a defensive player that early. I think it'd benefit me more in the long run.
The one IDP league championship that I won, I had, it was a 12-teamer, but I spent the ninth pick that year. It was either the eighth or the ninth pick. It's been a couple of years. I took Devin White, his rookie year, so this would have been last year. When he was down in Tampa Bay. Now, he got off to a slow start. He had some injuries. But, man, he finished like a beast. And I was really glad to have him in that draft with some experienced industry-type drafters. Both he and Devin Bush went in the top 10 picks. So, would not be uncommon at all. But, you know, you mentioned Queen. I like Kenneth Murray in L.A. I think both will be very good. I think Murray and Queen will be very... very similar to Bush and White in that you're either in one camp or the other, and you'll, you know, like Chevy and Ford people. That's just kind of how people will be with these two. But I think those are all possible moves, man. So we'll go ahead and just wrap up the first round pick. I won't get too deep into the second and the other picks, but dude, you have a lot of good options there at 13. And you said there are several owners that don't have a first.
Yeah, I would say about three. Don't have any first round picks, a couple that don't even have an early second.
Well, those are the kind of guys that I like to target. A, they like to move picks. It's kind of their thing. Those kind of owners pay on credit is what I like to say. You know, they're always willing to move next year's first for something this year, and they're always going to pay interest on it. So that would be another move. I would be looking at defensive. I mean, I think my number one priority based on this lineup to get back to your quarterbacks is I would be looking at Tua or Herbert, and hopefully one of not Tua or Herbert, excuse me, Burrow or Tua. I don't know that I would take Herbert that high. I like Herbert, but I don't think he's as sure, quote unquote sure, as Tua and Herbert. And if not, I think my next priority would be is, you know, is Chase Young there? Is one of these two linebackers I really like there? And if not, maybe one of your league mates would be really excited to give you their 2021 first, which you don't have. And again, much like with a credit card company, you got to pay interest or the juice. You might be able to have this owner, you know, give you a couple of auction dollars. Might be willing to throw you a, you know, a 2023rd if they have it. That's a move I've liked doing. You know, what little bitty pieces can I get? And you can just move that first forward because you've actually got a pretty good lineup. It's not bad. You're just a little thin at running back, and you're a little thin at wide at quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that statement.
Well, I mean, but you have options. You have a good bankroll. You have about $250 to spend on a not you're not gonna spend it all on a quarterback, but you can be very aggressive in the quarterback market to get Matt Ryan or to get Russell Wilson. But I love the fact that your rookie draft is before your veteran free agent draft, and that allows you to strategize with the okay. My number one priority is to get one of these two rookies, Burrow or Tua. Okay, that didn't pan out. Then you can handle that draft part secondly. But then you know you're going into the veteran free agency auction having to land a quarterback. Now, the downside is so do your league mates. Is there any appetite in this league that maybe could you buy a quarterback straight up from another owner? Like maybe someone had Daniel Jones, and wouldn't be surprising if someone had like Daniel Jones and Patrick Mahomes. Could you buy Daniel Jones in this format?
I would honestly say it's tough. Usually, like the younger quarterbacks, owners tend to be they value their draft picks, as in past draft picks. But it is possible. I'd have to check the rosters, but if, you know, there's one in particular owner that drafts quarterback heavy, I think at one point he had Mahomes, Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott all on his team. And, you know, something like that would be a great situation to go and tackle. But I don't think there's too many owners with that situation at this point.
All right. Well, you've definitely got some moves to make it at quarterback. Let's get to your running backs. You have Chris Carson. We've already talked about him. Austin Eckler, who I would love for you to have in a PPR, but hey, do you know top of your head where he finished in non-PPR? I did not look. And then Kerryon Johnson.
Yes, off the top of my head, I want to say he was in the either high 200s or low 300s.
Okay, just curious. I know he was still an RB1. I just didn't know to what degree. I mean, you get almost 1,000 yards receiving, and that'll do the trick. So you mentioned that in the free agent acquisition auction, there's Raheem Mostert, there's David Johnson, there's Matt Breida, and then it gets really dicey with guys like LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson. That's really about it.
Yeah, it gets pretty slim. Fortunately, David Johnson became available because somebody dropped him. I know he's not the best back out there, but, you know, Bill O'Brien's gotta make sure that he doesn't look stupid, and he's gonna run Johnson.
Oh yeah. My thing of it is that David Johnson would really be much more of an asset if it was PPR or even half point PPR. I think the one that I would target, because I also like Matt Breida. I like Matt Breida a lot in that Chan Gailey offense. I think he's gonna get a lot of targets, and there's already good word coming out of Dolphins camp about Matt Breida. But again, in a standard scoring league, I think Raheem Mostert is the target I would go for. What do you think Mostert will go for in this format?
He's going to go for a lot of money. I would say he has the potential to go just as much as Russell Wilson at that $70 range, if not a little more, because running back is so scarce in our league, being at 16 teams. I would put him at like 70.
And that puts him on your team for 3 years, right?
3 years, yep.
And ain't no way. Ain't, write that down. Ain't no way I'm paying that for a guy who, I mean, he could have a great year. I really believe Mostert is the best running back, runner. Obviously, I think there's better pass catchers there in that backfield, but the best pure runner. I really like Mostert and what I saw in this running scheme last year, but he's like 28 and he's a journeyman. They helped him with his contract a little bit. You know, you could target some of the rookies, but you've got a second-round pick and a first-round pick. You know, if that second-round pick, if he's still there, he may not be. You mentioned this is a running back aggressive league, but Anthony McFarlane, a rookie for the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, I continue to hear really good things. Is there any of those, I guess, third- and fourth-tier rookie running backs that you've got your eye on? Anyone that you think maybe you could get there late?
It's funny you say Anthony McFarlane, because I ended up scouting him a little bit late in the year and realized how fast he was, and it really intrigued me. So he was one of the guys I was thinking about targeting. With my late second, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be there, so that's one of the reasons why I was checking him out. Other than that, it gets pretty deep. I haven't gotten a chance to look too deep into rookie running backs. Maybe a LaMichael Perrine I was looking at as well.
I like LaMichael Perrine, but they brought in the ageless one, Frank Gore. He is unstoppable. And Le'Veon Bell, they're going to try to get all the $14 million out of his ass that they can, because that's what they're paying him this year. The guy that I really liked, a couple of guys. If you end up drafting there at the 215, three guys that I would have my eyes on. One would be Anthony McFarlane. He would be at the tippy top of my list. The next one would be Joshua Kelly. Not a special athlete, not a guy that's going to set the world on fire, but a guy that I, in my opinion, I think he's the one who takes the Melvin Gordon role in LA with the Chargers. I think Eckler's role expands a bit. But I did this exercise a couple of weeks back, in that 2 years ago, Melvin Gordon averaged like 23 PPR points, and then last year 15 PPR points. Now, obviously, this will, you know, translate a little bit different being standard, but if you're looking for that between the tackles grinder type, man, Joshua Kelly at the 215, the 31st player off the board in a format like this where you're hurting for running back and have Austin Eckler, I think that might be a play.
I was looking at Josh Kelly too, obviously, because I have Austin Eckler, and Justin Jackson is a free agent as well. So I was kind of debating about the two, because Justin Jackson's not going to go for very much. I'd say $5 there. But I know you and Jerry kind of have different opinions on Joshua Kelly, correct?
We do, but he's the very redundant handcuff to Austin Eckler. And as the defending champion, I mean, even if you wound up with all three of these guys, there's going to be a lot of running backs this year where you can start both. You know, you're going to have Cleveland, where Kareem Hunt's going to have standalone value. I think you get a couple of games in Indy, you're going to be able to start both Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack. I mean, you've got Kerryon Johnson, who I'm not a huge fan of. But in this format, man, Kerryon Johnson's an RB2 flex-ish type play for this format. So to think that Joshua Kelly and Austin Eckler might both be startable in a given week is not the craziest thing I've ever said, believe me. So,
note taken.
Okay, so those would be the three guys. I would be in on Mostert, but you have to decide, hey, what percentage of my bankroll am I spending? And Mostert, and I've done this in auctions myself, hey, once I hit X dollar, maybe on a guy like Mostert, since you're the defending champion, maybe you're willing to spend up to $35. I think that's more than enough. That's not quite 10% of your $400. That's enough. The minute he hits $36, you just shut it down and wait for the next player, because there is no point in overpaying for a 28-year-old journeyman that you may be stuck with for two more years and have no way of getting any value out. We good with that one?
Yeah, absolutely, especially because if I were to get Mostert for $70, drop him after a year, I would owe $70 into the pot. So that's another twist on it.
Don't be afraid to run them up, but remember you're gambling. Remember you're comfortable with 35 or 32 or something like that. Don't go crazy. And then this next guy, he's going to be flex worthy. I just mentioned him, Kerryon Johnson. But the guy I really want in Detroit is DeAndre Swift. I'm going to ask you, I think I already know the answer, but I want to hear it from your mouth. Is there any way you could get into that top four rookie picks at a reasonable cost to get DeAndre Swift?
I've tried to get three, which should be where Swift goes, who's actually my father's pick. So we've been spent many nights working on that, but he's just too sucked into that third. And then the number fourth pick, I've reached out to a couple of times. He shuts it down and doesn't even give me a reason. I've offered him multiple first rounds in the future, plus a linebacker. I can't get him to budge.
All right, well, then there's no point in wasting good energy on a deal that won't get done. But I would be looking to whoever drafts Kerryon Johnson. Hey, you know what? You just spent a lot of equity. Hey, you know, you wouldn't buy a brand new car or a brand new house without putting insurance on it. You just paid a lot of equity for DeAndre Swift. Let me sell you some cheap insurance. And maybe you could get a pick back. Maybe you could move that 215 and Kerryon Johnson for a different running back. I mean, there's a couple of small moves. It's not going to set the world on fire or knock the league on its ear. But those are a couple of things I would look to do.
Cool.
All right, let's go to your wide receiver room. Clearly the strength of this team. You've got DJ Chark, who I absolutely love. I think he could be a huge breakout this year on a really, really craptastic defense, and it's the team that's going to be behind. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the worst over-under win total prediction by Vegas. It's like 4.5 to 5, depends on where you get your action. So bad team, going to be behind. Wide receivers, going to get a lot of targets. I like DJ Chark. Will Fuller, man, if this guy wasn't held together by used tissues and chewing gum, he could be something special, but he's going to be tough. I mean, I could easily see on this lineup where you might opt into the one running back and four wide receivers, because you got DK Metcalf. There's your stud. And Robert Woods. And you mentioned in your questionnaire you want to build around young studs. Mister, these are your young studs. DK Metcalf, DJ Chark. You got Bob Woods. Bob Woods is the kind of asset that if this season gets off to a tumultuous start, he would be a guy that I would be looking to move. Now, you've got him dirt cheap. You got him for $11. How long do you have him under contract?
Robert Woods?
That's right, Bobby Woods.
So right now I'm paying him $11. I had to sign him this year. So I signed him to a 2-year deal. I do have the option to extend that until Sunday, but I thought 2 years was good for him. What's your take?
My take is that's a great call, because Bob Woods is a Ram this year. Now, next year, they owe him about $11 million, and they can cut him for a $2 million cap hit. So that would be a $9 million savings. Doesn't seem like a lot of money until you realize, they, as of right now, the cap could reduce due to COVID and revenue loss. But they could save $9 million, and they've got to figure out how to pay Jalen Ramsey. And they're going to pay Jalen Ramsey, because you don't give up multiple firsts to trade for a guy to then not re-sign him. And then they've got to figure out if they're going to re-sign Cooper Kupp. And I've said before on the Dynasty Warzone that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods this year are what they used to call in wrestling back in the days when I used to watch, was a loser leaves town match. Someone ain't coming back next year. I just really feel it with the amount of money they're going to be spending on Cooper Kupp and Jalen Ramsey, that someone's got to go. And I think that someone could be Bob Woods. He'll be I think he's either 29 this year or will be 29 next year. And to save $9 million on a 29-year-old wide receiver, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, also wouldn't surprise me if they kept Woods and let Cooper Kupp test the free agent market. But I have a feeling that a 2-year deal for him was the right number. So I dig that. Any wide receivers of note in the free agent pool? I remember one that I really liked and one that I think will get more buzz.
So here's the catch with this. So I actually had both Hopkins and Allen Robinson on my roster last year. Now, I was franchise tagging Hopkins at $110, and this year it was my turn to franchise Allen Robinson as well. And that you can only franchise one guy. So I figured I'd drop them both into the pot and try and get one for a cheaper dollar amount. So those two are the ones that I'm targeting, but more on the Robinson side.
I was going to say, DeAndre Hopkins, who I love, we've covered it many times. I think the target volume is going to come back significantly over what he was getting in Houston. I mean, this is a guy that, if you subtract his rookie year, has been averaging about 150 targets a season, and I'm not sure that's the case there. The leading wide receiver in Arizona last year, I think, was Larry Fitzgerald by two. I think he had 107 and Kirk had 105, or I may have those inversed, but not as much volume as you would think in that Cliff Kingsbury offense. So he would not be a target, especially at that dollar amount. What do you think Allen Robinson would go for, and what would you have had to have paid him had you kept him?
So if I kept him, I'd have to pay him $110, which is super expensive.
Yeah, you can't pay him
well
that.
Over half. But I would say he's probably going to go, being how slim the rest of the receivers are in free agency, probably around that $70, $80 amount. There's some teams that are tight end heavy that are going to need a receiver.
I would kick some tires on Allen Robinson. I believe, and I know this number to be, I should know it top of my head, I think he's 6 months younger than Michael Thomas. And he's going to be a free agent this coming off season. So he may actually get out of Chicago and maybe, just maybe, land in a situation where they need a stud wide receiver one. My dream is that he lands in New York with Daniel Jones, but we'll see what happens in the off season. But I think $75 would be my cap on him. I don't know that I would go much higher, especially if you're locked in for 3 years at that dollar amount, because you have to carry him. And let's be honest, your wide receivers are young and talented in Metcalf and Chark, and you've got Robert Woods for two seasons. And I think I would be a bidder on Allen Robinson, but I wouldn't go bananas. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking for sure. I don't think he'd be worth a 110. So figure if I can get him cheaper, or exactly around that $75 range you suggested, I think we'd be in good shape. Just kind of solidify my wide receiver room.
So is this the kind of auction where, like, everybody nominates a player, like one player a day, and multiple things get going?
So the auction is actually it's a standard auction, but it's continued. It starts at like 11 o'clock on a Sunday, and it ends on a Sunday when everybody spent their money.
All right. The reason why I ask is I was in an auction where we're allowed to nominate one player a day. And then, like, so on Sunday we would nominate one, and that auction would go until that player was finally sold. Then Monday you would nominate another person, and so on and so forth. I would be nominating some of these wide receivers and running backs. Let these guys get their money in on the Allen Robinsons, on the DeAndre Hopkins, on the Raheem Mostert, and just hope that you can get your money in on the Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. That's where you really need it. And you're going to get the most, return on that investment. I mean, if you have to carry Russell Wilson at $80, I would feel a lot better, especially in a 16-team league, carrying Russell Wilson at like $80, $85, than I would Allen Robinson at $75, especially knowing it's going to be 3 years worth.
Cool, I agree with that.
All right, let's get into IDP. We won't spend a ton of time on IDP, as that's not the biggest format, but I do like it. I do enjoy it quite a bit. You were looking for some strategies. One I've already mentioned is fellow happy hour contributor, Oklahoma, just like it sounds, not Oklahoma that ends in an A, but Oklahoma E, which ends in an IE. Oklahoma IDP, great follow. Super positive guy and a really fun guy to talk defensive players with. Another thing that I'm going to recommend is Our Lads, because I could tell you most offensive depth charts just top of my head. And I think most hardcore dynasty players could. But man, you start getting deep on the defensive side. You get past the studs at a handful of positions. You start getting a lot of and huh type look. So a great resource that I would recommend is Our Lads. You just type, the way that I use it for me is this, I just to get there, I type in Our Lads, Tennessee Titans. Boom. Takes me right to the Tennessee Titans. I can scroll down. I can say, oh, hey, this is their strong safety, or, oh, hey, here's their middle linebacker, or do they run a 3-4? Do they run a 4-3? Those are great references in IDP. I will say, man, you do have good, you have one really good defensive end. Now, I thought Eric Armstead was listed as a defensive tackle on MFL, but he's actually listed as a D end. Is that a recent change in distinction?
He was a D end last year, too. I actually didn't pick him up till later in the season. But as far as I know, he was a D end, at least last year.
Interesting. And then you've only got two linebackers. I think this is an area where you could definitely use some depth. You know, I think I would change my rookie draft strategy just a touch after looking at your linebackers. You have Corey Littleton, absolute stud. You got him at a great price. You got him on 3 years. You got him for $11. That's dirt cheap for a guy of his talent. You also have Anthony Walker. Now, I'm a Colts fan, mentioned that earlier, but that ain't enough. And I'll give you a couple of names of some cheap linebackers that I've got. I'm going to stay the Colts homer route. It's been rumored that Anthony Walker could be replaced by Bobby Okereke and Colts strong safety Kari Willis. I really like both of these guys, especially Willis. Now, you've already got a Colt in Walker, and if you believe, then, you know, hang in there. But you got to do it. But again, I'm going to change my strategy with that 113. I think our number one priority is a QB. And man, if Murray or Queen or Simmons or Chase Young land to you there, I think you got to pull that trigger, man.
In the first round?
I think so. I mean, with the scoring format being what it is for linebackers, man, you could really use it. I mean, I'm looking at Corey Littleton scored 255 points in this format last year, and a quarterback, Gardner Minshew, scored 256, and Austin Eckler scored 253. So that tells me that a really good linebacker in this format is worth it. So you get a guy who you, especially Queen. I would have to put Queen just a hair over Murray, but they're super close for me. And I like Murray the player better. I think I like the Baltimore situation a little bit better with a guy like, you know, Calais Campbell up front, you know, doing the dirty work and letting Queen stack up those tackles, man. But yeah, I think I would for sure. I've done it before personally. Like I said, I took Devin White with the 108 or 109.
You know, I'm intrigued you said that. Because I hadn't thought about that until now. I've been debating about quarterback, taking a shot on a late running back or a receiver. But I feel like if I decided to take Patrick Queen, because all the linebackers will be there, I think if I took Queen or Murray there, I'd be a happy camper.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, so we've established 250 as kind of a benchmark of a player we'd like to get, right? Obviously, we think Joe Burrow and Tua have the potential to put those kind of points in your lineup. Would you agree?
Yes.
Now, a running back that might be available at 113 would be a guy like Keyshawn Vaughn. But do you think Keyshawn Vaughn is more capable of putting up 255 points as soon as this year for a guy chasing a championship? Or do you think that's going to be Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray?
Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray.
And at the end of the day, you win fantasy games by scoring fantasy points. And I just think one of those two middle linebackers is going to be the way to go. So I think we're prioritizing quarterback, those two middle linebackers. But, you know, I'm looking at your man, Eric Armstead, as a D end. I don't think I would go Chase Young after all, because I'm looking at this scoring format. And if Eric Armstead only scored 116 points in this format last year, and he was the guy that the 49ers decide to pay, he's good. You know, they traded DeForest Buckner to the Colts and kept him. So he's going to be there, so his job's secure. But if he's only scoring me 116 points, man, that's like eight a game. in a 16-game season, and you're trying to win a ship, my brother. So you've also got Myles Garrett. He got suspended, but he only scored 71 points. So Chase Young, upon further review, 100% off our draft board. So the four guys we're looking to land at that 114 are Tua, Burrow, Murray, and Queen. Are we on the same page with that one?
Absolutely. I dig it.
I love it a lot. Okay, let's talk strong safety. Dude, you got Derwin James. Now, you got a couple of guys who, due to a series of unfortunate events, with Derwin James getting hurt, and I think he missed the first 8 games of the season, maybe 9, if I remember correctly. And then Myles Garrett, all he did was El Kabong, Mason Rudolph, and he got paid. But I really like Derwin James. Are there any safeties that you have your eye on? Any cheap guys that maybe you can get in the rookie draft?
So in the rookie draft, you're talking?
Rookie or free agent. I know you're going to be looking for Kari Wills. Another guy that I just drafted in my newest IDP league was Darnell Savage Jr. He may go a skosh higher or might be a tad expensive up there in Cheeseland, but is there any safeties that you're looking at, either veteran or rookie?
So I actually had Landon Collins last year, but I had to drop him because he was another player that was up for a franchise tag. But he's been great. He was a great, solid, strong safety that scored a lot of points. So I'm looking at him again. I figure the Washington offense isn't that great. And with Dwayne Haskins being unproven without a lot of receiver help and the backfield not being solid, I feel like the defense is going to be on the field a lot. And Collins will scoop up all those tackles. So he's my number one safety I'm looking at free agency. As a rookie, Antoine Winfield Jr.
is my man.
Yeah, he, you know, what is Antoine Sr.? Is that his dad?
That is correct. Antoine Winfield, formerly of the Vikings, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so good bloodline. He's going to walk into a starting role, I think, with a Tom Brady Tampa Bay team. I think he could be a solid safety his first year out. Whether or not he makes it to me at my number, I think it's 215, it's dicey.
Well, I'm going to throw you a name. He might be cheap out there. This is a guy who was an addition this offseason. And that's Adrian Phillips of the New England Patriots. This is a guy who had 94 total tackles in 2018. Didn't have a great season. He only played 7 games last year for the Chargers. But he's someone who may be dirt cheap as you're looking to fill out that roster. He's a guy that I picked up. He's slated to be the starter opening day for the New England Patriots. And you know, Uncle Bill usually has a good defense there. So there's a name for you. A couple other names I'll throw out there at safety that I really like. Demarius Randall, he might be out there cheap. He's slated to be the starting strong safety, at least as of today, for the Las Vegas Raiders. Kareem Jackson, who's now in Denver, is another guy that I like. And I already mentioned Kari Will. So there's a couple of guys, and if you're looking for some cheap linebackers that I like, now you probably won't get him cheap because he's also a cheesehead. Oren Burks, you know, from the 2018 rookie class, he's another guy that I really like. I mentioned Bobby Okereke, and I'm going to throw out Vince Williams of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another rookie linebacker, let's say you get one of those quarterbacks that you really like, Tua or Burrow with that 113. A guy that I would look at that I personally drafted in my IDP league was Jordan Brooks, the rookie for the Seattle Seahawks. You could be all speed green and blue up there, man.
Yeah, it's looking that way if I took him.
Yeah.
Could use that jersey.
Heck yeah, man. The DK Metcalf jersey. Well, listen, that's what I've got for you, man. This is a true which way is this thing going to go type show. And I look forward to having you back on and having the follow-up. But before I get you out of here, is there any questions I can answer real quick on the way out?
I guess the one thing I had that I'm a little uncertain of, I don't think I'm there yet, but when I get to a point, when can I decide when it's a good time to rebuild, throw everything into the pot and just start fresh? Is there any keys that you could suggest? Or
for me, with this roster, this is a very which way is she going to go? And I've mentioned this advice before, but I think you have to look by around week 6-7. If you're not a 4-win team, 5-win team at that point, it might be time to pack it in. And then you can go back and start looking to move a Chris Carson. Chris Carson's a guy that if you're not contending and Chris Carson's playing well, I'm looking to move him. He's a guy who's coming off of a fractured hip. Now, I have every thought that he's going to be a good player, but he's going to be a free agent next year. And so are guys like James Conner, Marlon Mack, Leonard Fournette. There's another rookie class coming out. You know, Rashad Penny's still there. I've never been able to figure out how guys can and ladies can continue to be so bullish on Darius Geis and his knee injuries, but we're so down on Rashad Penny. So Chris Carson would be my number one guy I would be looking to move. And then Littleton's not necessarily a spring chicken, but if you do land a Murray or a Patrick Queen, those would be the kind of guys that I would be looking to move. I mean, let's go ahead and move those guys. Let's acquire young assets. And that's just going to be a feel for the room. You know, trade deadline, not only do trade deadlines spur actions, but they make people make suboptimal decisions. We'll just say that. So those would be some strategies. You don't necessarily have to blow it up, you know, down to the studs, as the old expression goes, but you can definitely start looking around. If you're not going to make the playoffs or you don't feel comfortable that you're a guaranteed repeat champion, man, start looking to move some of those guys with sketchy, questionable deals. Maybe Robert Woods is having a great season, and maybe you can move him if you're not having a great season. But there are certainly things you can do. And what I would be looking for assets like a Littleton, if you were to move him, or a Robert Woods or a Chris Carson, is I would be looking for a young guy that I think could get similar production as soon as next year, and some additional draft capital, or in your case, as an auction owner, some additional dollars.
Okay, so that kind of sparked another question for me now that you're talking about Littleton. So I do have a fantasy or an owner that is very interested in Littleton. He currently has the 2-3 pick. I don't know if he'd go for that or not, but if I decided to take a linebacker at 113 that would make up for those points, would you suggest taking Littleton for 2-3?
I think that's fair. You're gambling because he is your stud middle linebacker, and in a 16-team league, man, they're not growing on trees for sure. You know, so you got to ask yourself at every position in a 16-team league, is my linebacker 1, QB1, RB1, are they top 16 at the position? Because you kind of have to be, right, to be able to compete. And that's what you would be giving up. And there's no guarantee of rookie success. About 40% of NFL first-rounders bust. So you're kind of playing with fire. So you're trying to hit twice. That's a move I would make much more on the clock. You know, if you get to the 113, it's like I said, it's a which way do you go? If you get to the 113 and Queen and Murray are both there, and so are the quarterbacks, and I would take the quarterback, I would trade Littleton and hope that in, you know, 5 or 6 picks that one of the linebackers are still there. And if not, well, then you're going to have to spend up for one of the Band-Aid linebackers. But the one thing about IDP, man, you know, the average team, if they run a 3-4, is going to have 2 middle linebackers. So you're looking between 48 and 50 middle linebackers in the NFL. Now, not every one of them is Darius Leonard, but there's always room to find a replacement. So, yeah, you're just going to have to wait and fill out the draft.
Okay. I can get down on that.
All right, man. Well, hey, don't be afraid to reach out. You've got many ways to get a hold of me. As the draft season comes, I've done this with several people since we've done the contractor. That's the one thing that is the reason why I do the show. I take great pride in helping people, and that doesn't stop when the record button gets pushed off. We keep going and we keep grinding. But man, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, we like to remind you that the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can fix it. We can make it better. So on behalf of my guest Blaze, I am Memphis. We'll be back here next week with another roster, figuring out how we can help that owner. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Talk to you soon.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my hands a monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what. Well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds. Tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.